Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Off-Centered Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dockstetter, along with the partner in crime over here.
The always barefoot, always animal stuffing, always a moron, and always a midget from Ohio.
Well, there you go. Chuck Testa himself.
That's me.
Well, how you been, Chuck?
Good. We got the post-week jitters. Yeah. Pre-show jitters.
Yep. Yep. But this will come up post, so it works out.
Yeah. But it's almost time for the big game.
Yeah.
And you were at a big game the other day.
Well, yeah, it was a bunch of shit, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for thinking, I don't know.
Yeah. No, those that don't know, we went down to a barbecue contest in Anaheim over the weekend and did not do what we expected to do. So,
which was a surprise, actually.
Yes and no. Once we got there and saw how everything was, we kind of figured how it was going to go.
Really?
But we had high hopes. We didn't expect to end up second to last. But when you go to a contest and they're not expecting Santa Maria style tri-tip, and they expect their tri-tip done like a brisket, you see there's going to be an issue.
I have so many questions again. Like, how do you do a tri-tip like a brisket?
Cook the living crap out of it, inject it with stuff, make it taste fruity and weird. I don't know.
And then what happens?
And then you beat the best team in the state.
But I mean, I don't understand what happens to the meat. Does it fall apart? Like if you cook it for 19 hours?
Honestly, every other one that we tried tasted like crap, but
that's kind of what, you know, I was throughout the day.
Yeah.
When you texted, you go, hey, from what I'm tasting.
Yeah. No, everybody else is. I mean, the guy next to us, he didn't place either, but his tasted just like he rolled it in black pepper and called it good, which, I mean, more power to you, I guess. And then the other guy on the other side of us that ended up placing, I don't know, sixth or eighth or whatever it was, he was injecting with some kind of shit and I don't know what else. And I don't know.
You know,
I'm not supposed to understand it. I just go cook meat and have a couple drinks.
That's it. Well, the thing is, what I've come to understand is the more you complicate it, the more screwed up it is.
Absolutely. We went in cooking like it was a Santa Maria style contest, assuming because it was tri-tip.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I wouldn't have done anything any differently because that's how we do it. I'm not going to. Our anything pork rib category was enough of an experiment on its own, I'm not going to go change everything.
No, but you did want a new thing or something?
Yeah, the anything pork rib contest, they wanted pork ribs, but not pork ribs. So,
well, you should have injected it like tri-tip brisket or something. Yeah.
Well, we smoked them the day before and then finished them up on the pit and pulled the bones and made our version of a McRib sandwich.
That's right. I wanted mine with extra pickles.
Yeah, it came out pretty damn good for the first time ever trying it. So, but yeah, if we decide to go down and play with these guys again, we're going to have to get a little bit more creative in that category. But like I said, I'm not changing the tri-tip. That's just how we do it. So,
I don't know. I don't. It's not broken.
No, exactly. Exactly.
And then you start, seems like a little bit, almost like a competition, like the taxidermy deal. Because you go down there and then you go, oh, so we'll screw up our perfect thing.
Yeah.
Because we got.
Exactly.
And then.
Exactly. It's any contest. It doesn't matter what it is. You stick to your foundation and go with it.
Mm-hmm. Instead of reinventing the wheel.
Absolutely. There's no point in doing it. I mean, especially if we're going to come back up here next month on the 11th in Santa Maria for Santa Maria Barbecue Festival and
kick
try
butt.
To try to retain our title there.
Oh.
Exactly. We've won 4 out of 5 best overalls at that contest. And technically, there's the fifth one that has an asterisk next to it that there may have been some shady baloney going on.
There may have been some.
So, yeah, we're kind of like John Jones. He's what, 19-1, but that one has an asterisk. So.
Mm-hmm. Some skullduggery.
It's all good, though. It's all in fun. Like I tell everybody all the time, this is the stupidest fucking sport we can be into. But it's our 20-year anniversary this year, so we got to do something.
Damn.
Yep. Started in 04. I thought we started in 05, but I got reminded on Facebook the other day we started in 04.
Okay. By a fan or by your brother?
in my Facebook memories.
Oh, in your memories.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got the notification that 10 years ago on this day, this happened. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so 10 plus 10 is...
20. Yeah. You got 20 years education. You went to the 10th grade twice.
I know. I feel like old now. I never thought I'd be doing anything for 20 years.
Well, soon you'll have been doing taxidermy for 40.
Yeah, well, I'm only 2 years away from... 3 years away from 20 years in taxidermy, so...
That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's somehow it goes.
Mm-hmm. And not to keep tooting ourselves on the horn, but... Or, well, hey.
Toot your own horn.
Yeah. Somebody's got to toot my horn, I guess, so... But yeah, Whiskey Bet was just voted best caterer in Santa Maria Valley, so that was cool. Santa Maria Times did their viewers poll, and we were voted best in the valley on that, and second best barbecue in the valley. We lost to the Hitching Post Restaurant, which is, I still count that as a win. They've been like 70 years in the valley or something, so
yeah,
I'll take it as a win.
Well, I know someone might have voted 117 times.
Yeah, I think that might have been me. Okay. All right. I don't know. But no, I just want to say thank you to anybody that voted for us. That's awesome. We really appreciate it. It's this is something we never thought we'd accomplish. So it's pretty big honor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd be a multiple champion, multiple things.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll see. We'll see
both
how it goes.
Dead and cooking.
Yep. Yeah, we're just a couple days away from the circus.
Yep.
I'm nervous.
I know.
I decided I'm going in loaded for bear. No pun intended, but I'm either going to do great or crash and burn, so we'll see.
No, you won't do worse than me, so that's...
You know, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Hmm?
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I put something together for myself, yeah. Actually, not for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've decided I'm going to stick it on the wall.
I figure if you do good, I still count it as a win for myself since I made your mannequin, so mm-hmm. I'll take that.
Yeah, but, you made that part. I made the foundation part.
Yeah.
So it's a multiple.
Yeah, I made it into what it is.
Yeah.
I took it from what it was to what it is.
Right.
So.
What it was, what it shall be.
Mm-hmm.
And I built the skeleton.
Absolutely.
That came off it, and then I was going to clay it. And somehow, I made some deal with Trev. Do you remember how that even...
No, that was right when I started coming around, when you guys put that together.
Okay, because somehow... Travis said, I'll clay your pig if you do whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And the thing is, actually, it wasn't going to go in the book at all.
Yeah.
It was going to be like a private reserve thing. Mm-hmm. But no, it still counts as a win.
For sure.
All the way around.
Absolutely. We'll see. We'll see what happens
really
with it.
The how you cut it was exactly what I wanted.
So. Yeah, no, it went on exactly how I saw it going on. So,
and this, well, the skin alignment to the trained eye looks good, but we'll see.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I did know there's one thing I got to do tomorrow before I load everything up. I got to make one amendment to our seminar pig.
Mm-hmm. Amendment.
Yeah, I got to trim the leg a little bit on it.
Uh huh. Amendment.
Yeah, the
that was like a paragraph to a paper.
Something. I gotta edit it or something. I don't
edit,
know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
I like it.
It'll fit the way it is. I just don't want to fight it in front of an audience.
No, you know what? The last thing you want to have happen is when you get your mannequin from McLean,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing your seminar, and he brings you a 370 instead of a 350.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And there you are with all these people watching, and you got 3 inches, and...
We got it together, though.
Yeah, we got it together, and then there was no... I couldn't dip it, remember?
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of taking me my usual, 25 minutes, it took me, 45.
Yeah, that was. I think that was the year we had plumbing problems at the YOLO Fairgrounds.
Right.
I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was going, God, if I could have just dipped this, it still would have been.
It still would have been tight.
Tight, but not like.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But and then the professor guy said, "Oh, I didn't think you were going to get it together." And showed you.
Yep, absolutely.
And then after I took a stock, I realized we still mounted two heads in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Even with that jackpot. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely.
Which, you know, I guess the timing isn't the point. The point is that you always want to make sure it...
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we're...
It fits. But I always like to get my mannequin from Mark down there because there's nothing up my sleeve.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, go over and get it. And
mm-hmm.
Then that way, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe one day he'll come back, but...
I had heard it was supposed to be now.
Yeah, well...
Apparently not.
Nope, I guess not.
Nope, or Montana, he's not. They're not.
Hell, they couldn't even send us a picture frame with their gift certificate this year, or with their award. Really? We had to frame our own award, but that's okay.
Oh, their Blacktail Award or whatever? Oh. Hey, whatever happened to their pig award?
I've never seen them have a pig award.
They did. I won it.
Not since I've been there.
I was thinking about that since we have a plethora of pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to mention that.
We have a pig award now.
We do?
Yeah. We sponsored it last year.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
This year I got the Los Alamos Men's Club to sponsor it, so it didn't look weird if one of us wins it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't worried about. But Research used to have a highest scoring pig on their mannequin.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to talk to Mark about, well, now we got another one. We don't need it.
Well, it would be nice, but.
Yeah, it would be. Because then if multiple.
Yeah, because I saw one of the shows back east, they had a couple research awards for small life size and for something else.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah.
We've got enough awards that it's not really a make or break situation if we don't have.
The show, was there another show this weekend?
This last weekend was Wyoming.
Wyoming show.
Yeah. And Montana is either next weekend or it's like right around the same time. It's everybody's kind of clustered up in the month of April for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This problem is you get so many shows and then guys start prioritizing.
Yeah. Well, I think the issue this year is everybody's trying to get their shows in before the World Show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, we've got in May, we've got the Nationals.
Uh-huh.
And then right after that in August is the world.
The big top.
Yeah. So
the real big top.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure all the different states are just trying to get their shows out of the way so they can focus on the world. I don't think next year it'll be quite as tight of a situation. But who knows? I've been wrong before.
Well, I was born wrong.
Absolutely.
Just ask anyone that knows me.
You came out sideways.
Actually, I got dropped on my head. This is a true story.
That explains so much.
I cracked open all the way when I was like 6 months old or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm claiming that had something to do with it. And you never know. I wish my mom was here to tell the story.
That might have something to do with some of the situations around here.
Yeah, I was trolled from day one. Found me walking down Sunset Boulevard in my diaper. Somehow I escaped from this big house on the hill.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Heading to Bischoff's, 2 years old.
Yep, going absolutely.
Going down to Sunset and Hollywood, everywhere the corner it was on. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's that. We're getting ready for the show. We've got all of our pieces together for the most part. I'm going to sit here and watch Chuck finish up his today while I do some finish work on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow I load up, and Wednesday morning, dark and early, I'm out of here.
Dark and early?
Yeah, I'm probably going to leave about 5.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I'm just going to tell you right now, I won't be there till 6.
Oh, get there whenever you want to get there. Like I told you, as long as you're there before our seminar on Thursday, it's all that matters.
Oh, I know, but I got that deal at 8. Every 3-week thing.
And yeah. Yeah, no, you don't have a deadline at all tomorrow. You get there whenever your little heart desires.
But I will be there. Oh, speaking of being there, the kid from our seminar is entering in the show.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
Okay, good. Yeah, he called. Yeah, yeah.
He was looking for a list of the supplies he needs to put a deer head together. He couldn't. He didn't take that part in his notes, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So I gotta either put him one together or find one for him. So.
Oh, you mean the tools? Or
yeah, the tools and whatnot. He said there's no hurry. He doesn't have anything to put together. He just wants to have all his ducks in a row. So.
Yeah, I don't know, that kid, we might have created a situation.
That's okay. He's a good kid.
Our first fighter pilot slash, well, no, because Shay's a helicopter, so we'll have a multitude of you know,
yeah,
fighter taxidermist, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we're going to do something a little different this week, though, for our episode here. We're not having a guest on today. We're going to do a little book report in, like, a prequel to a coming up guest, hopefully.
Hopefully. We had, in line with our, you know, theme that we've been going with, and since the show is on Thursday, we hope to waylay a couple of guys there.
Yep, absolutely.
Poor Randy doesn't know.
Anyway, we'll see who shows up.
Anyhow, so when I contacted Joe finally, and he's like dodging jail again right now.
Yeah.
In some appeal, and then he's going to on some big field trip with the guy from the Denver Museum and the other guy from the NTA.
Yeah.
So he's a little busy, but he suggested that we take his poem book and... God bless you, Joe. Why don't you give me something hard to do? And since it has, you know, his philosophies in there, he suggested that we do a book report.
Heck yeah.
On it. So, for those of you who don't know, Joe, put that up there. Joe wrote a
Conversation with Carl Akeley.
Right. And it's actually a play in play form, and
that'll make it easy to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at this is Carl Akeley that Louis Paul did, put that up there. That's a relief that Louis Paul sculpted.
Oops, there you go. Pretty neat.
It is, of him. And then here's a quote. Death wins, bravo, but I laugh in its face. And he noses me out at the wire, meaning he still won. So, basically... So
yeah. We may not get to the whole book today, but we're
going to... We don't even know. We didn't really, like, plan this out.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is kind of... I'm going to read some intro and stuff, and they got Jailbird Joe's signature again.
Nice.
And I'll read the dedication. And, oh, here's some books by Joe wrote, too.
Oh, nice.
Let me read some of those. The Jonas Technique, Volume 1, 1976, no kidding. The Jonas Technique, Volume 2.
And there you go.
1978.
Great title for a follow-up.
Right. Taxidermy Review Magazine, volumes number, oh, God, Volume 5, number, December 1976 through 1985, quite a while.
Yep.
And then the dedication is to the, this is what really I liked, to the memory and legacy of Henry Winchers in Chunamuck, master sculptor and taxidermist, 1921 to 2012. And for those of you three regular listeners, when we drop the podcast tomorrow, one of the guys, the guest tomorrow, was lucky enough, right, to have him, Henry, talk to him about his mount and, you know, and all of that.
Yeah, I still haven't gone back and looked at it yet. I'm afraid that this episode may go up instead of that one, but we'll see.
Okay. Oh, because of the thing?
Yeah, we had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
We'll see. I'm sure it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, and then he gives credit to different mounts that he put in here. Anticipated at what kid I say when let me do, like, I'll skip around a little bit,
whatever you want to do.
Well, and again, why am I reading? But when noteworthy writers and historians research and publish information with regard to an icon of our beloved industry of taxidermy, their collective works and are destined to be permanently etched into our legacy and heritage. This is so essential to our profession that without such effort, little would be known about those we wish to emulate in our work. Wow, so that's, in a weird way, what we're trying to do with the recordings of people.
Yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat? Okay, well, you have to tell me because I flunked school. However, when the person who is actually doing the research intelligently expands on what is collected through his or her own personal experience, the consequential interpretation can and positively ought to be Steven Spielberg material. He always gets something in there. The anticipated outcome is tenfold when a living icon such as Mr. Joe Kish does this within the supernatural mindset of yet another icon, Mr. Carl Akeley, who has long been taken from us, only to return once again, if only here and now, vespers of our combined passion for taxidermy. Joe Kish, the mastermind that designed the first national standards of our profession, who pivoted and evolved into the true concept of taxidermy competitions, recipient of the 2015 World Taxidermy Competitions Lifetime Achievement Award, creates a revenant for our own generation to appreciate, whatever a revenant is. Okay, so basically, he's going to write this book in a poem form, and it's about the spirit of Carl Akeley, and then we'll go to another page somehow. Introduction. The idea for this script began forming in the early 80s. It was a result of having watched all 24 episodes of Meeting of the Minds, whatever that is. Oh, here is what it is. A PBS series written by a multi-talented and prolific writer, actor, and musician, Stephen Allen. Okay. Stephen Allen acting as a host in Montreal. Oh, wow. Featured guests from various episodes, including such departed characters as Teddy Roosevelt, Cleopatra, Leonardo da Vinci, and Attila the Hun. So basically, again, it was a set where this guy had characters come in and study the role and then interviewed them like it was Teddy or whatever.
Yeah.
And interesting. So, and you were there. For all you young people, it might do you some good okay, in the conversation, cast of characters. This is important. Father of modern taxidermy, eternally 64 years of age. That means he's passed away. Troy Johnson, a professional taxidermist in his 40s. Uh-oh. We need someone else. Jim Crabtree, a man of 25 in his fifth year of taxidermy. And the scene is at the American Natural History Museum. And the time is now. Oh, look. Stick that in the camera. That's Carl Akeley in his studio.
There you go. You can see that.
Okay. So here... here we go. The two men approach the great bronze doors of the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. One is confident, the other skeptical. The time is exactly... yes.
Now.
Midnight.
Oh, there you go.
If you're going to see a ghost, when are you going to see it?
Well, there you go, yeah. 3 a.m., that's the witching hour.
It is. Jim, this is crazy. Akeley died and was buried in Africa 90 years ago. What is it you still don't understand about dead and buried? Jim, we've been over this now many times, Matt. That shaman I talked to 5 years... take it over. And then... or
that shaman... that shaman I talked to 5 years ago said I'd find the route to the past in books that Akeley and others wrote. I read them all. His diaries, the expedition records. I even read the books they read. Everything he said that would show the path would be in the archives here. It all checked out. How could he have known where to find it? He's never set foot outside Rwanda, much less know that what's in the archives here.
Uh-huh. So the shaman told him.
Yep.
In Africa, not New York.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still believe he actually talked to Akeley's ghost on Mount Makino? You just think it'll work because you spent all that money on the trip and you don't have, or yeah, and you don't have what to show for it?
That's me.
Could that old witch doctor even read or write?
Nope.
Listen, that old witch doctor, as you like to call him, he knew what he was talking about. You'll see when we get inside. It's time. Would you care to knock or shall I do it? This is your show, but we're going to be in serious doo-doo if the cops see us here. He pounded on the microphone, I guess.
Yeah, knocking. Did they knock yet?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Then the lion's head answered, "What is your quest?" And Jim says, "Who said that?"
"I did," said the lion.
"What do you seek?"
"Yes, wisdom."
"We'd like to speak to Mr. Akeley, Carl Akeley. My friend Jim here thinks I'm pulling his leg or something. Maybe you could give us a sign or something that this is on the level." The glowing lion's head quietly fades to a cold bronze again, and after a pause, the door finally opens, slowly revealing the figure of a trim, aged, balding man. Mm. And this is where Carl Akeley appears.
Yep, it is.
Wearing a shirt and tie under a smock and sounding a little impatient. Mm. "Yes? Mr. Akeley? Mr. Carl Akeley? I'm Carl Akeley."
Wow. Keep reading, Daddy.
Usually you have to pull my hair before you call me that. "Mr. Akeley." "Mr. Akeley, my name is Troy. This is my friend Jim. I was told that if we knocked precisely at midnight tonight, we could speak with you. May we come in?" And in a measured speech, "Come in. But I must decline the offer of your hand. We understand."
Meaning he's not physical.
"Uh-huh. Oh, brother. They better put us in separate cells or I'll rip your damn arms off for dragging me down here like this. You and your brilliant theory of immortality. The deathlessness of art and all the other bullshit I let you feed me."
That's Matt talking to me sometimes.
"They have a garden here, you know." Not a garden. "A guard in here, you know."
Yeah.
Didn't you see the movie?
Night at the museum?
Maybe. "This isn't one of the guards. I know them all by sight. Settle down." "Then you actually expected the Carl Akeley to answer the door? What did I tell you? Listen, I don't know who this character is or how you got to the door or how you got the door to do this thing for you, but he looks just like Carl Akeley." "Who'd you expect Carl Akeley to look like? Sean Connery?"
"Huh. Maybe. Or okay. He's going to play him in a movie."
"Yeah. Huh? I'll be your fool a while longer, but if Connery shows up, I'm out of here." All right, I'll let you take back over.
Okay.
We're right there.
Right there. "Anyway, Akeley, gentlemen, take your seat. What can I do for you boys? Troy, Mr. Akeley, Jim and I are fans of yours, you might say. We came here hoping you might share some of your knowledge and experiences with us and tell us what taxidermy was like in your day. We have some questions we would like to ask you. That's if you don't mind." I get very few visitors like you fellows. "Well, you know, Mr. Akeley, your Akeley method and all about your life and your adventures in Africa. We'd like to know what you and the men you work with thought about taxidermy, what motivated you, and what it was like being a taxidermist back in your day." Well, we're really going back in time in this episode. "Now, Akeley, what do you think it was like? For one thing, you and others mounted animals about as perfect as it can be done. The work in here is flawless and lasted all these years," which is true. "It's like night and day from commercial work we see in the pictures from your time. We know your methods, but we would like you to tell us what you thought about the art of taxidermy and even about art in general. Where would you like me to begin?" "Well, my friend Jim here asked me a question about..." "I'll let him ask it. Jim, Troy, this actor you hired. Troy impatiently and snapping. Will you settle down? Mr. Ickley is a busy man. And we don't have all night, you know. What though? What's to lose? Ickley, before you left on your last trip to Africa, Troy said he read somewhere that you were working on a completely new way of mounting big game animals, something faster and better than your famous method. Was there anything to that? Maybe it was someone's interpretation of something I said or what he thought I was doing at the time. Taxidermists in my time were always looking for a better way to do almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was always to produce the best result in the shortest time at the lowest cost. You mean like shortcuts? Not shortcuts. That's what I say. We don't do shortcuts.
Yep.
I mean that the easiest way to do a thing in time and money. There are no benefits to shortcuts. Okay? This is equally in time or cost if the best results aren't achieved. Your method takes a lot of time, and time is money. And your point is, I couldn't afford to model all my forms when I can just buy them from a supply company. That eliminates all the time of making them myself. Just pass the cost on to the customer. Now here comes Akeley. Are all these forms you buy expertly molded and ready to use out of the box? No, but I can usually make them work without a lot of time altering them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ever heard the old adage? Into a perfect work, time does not enter. Well, I have now. Okay. Troy. To Jim. Henry Thoreau said that. Whoever that is. I told you to read his books. Ickley, think of money as a kind of scorecard, which measures the amount and quality of one's work. Wow. Like a form of stored productivity energy, productive energy. The more work one does, the higher its quality, the higher its score in terms of money. Understand? Did I read that right? Should I read it again?
I think you got it.
I did?
I think you got it.
Okay. And Jim says, I get it, I guess. Mr. Ickley, the Encyclopedia Britannica, and for all you who don't know what encyclopedias are, that was the internet in paper form.
Or something Google. Like that.
Yeah. Mr. Ickley, the Encyclopedia Britannica credits you with raising taxidermy from a craft to an art. An art as opposed to, say, a science. If taxidermy is an art, not a science, how would you define it, or what kind of art is it? What do you mean, what kind of art is it? Well, all kinds of things are called art, like the fine arts of painting and sculpture and literary arts and books and novels. And there's mechanical arts like gunsmithing. Many activities can be an art if what's created requires personal judgment and skill in how they're fashioned and presented. Floral art arranging and culinary arts, for example. There's also the art of conversation, which I suck at. And then Jim, how about the art of lying? Well, we'll ask another guy to know about that. Ickley. I don't wonder I have no friend. Ickley, even lying can be an art when the liar brings all his personal motivation and individual ways of bringing them to bear. Oh, here we go. Lawyers and politicians in particular have elevated lying to an art form. See, this is even back in that day.
Yep.
See? And it's their stock in trade. And Troy says, so, is taxidermy a legitimate art form or just some categorical art because we work with the skins of animals? Categorical meaning, I guess, a category.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can be categorized. But among art forms, taxidermy is more applied art than a fine art. Applied art than a fine art. Another thing is that taxidermy mounts are usually done for a specific purpose and are not inherently permanent like paintings or bronze sculptures. There are also certain parameters unique to the art. And then Troy says, applied art, parameters, could you please explain? Applied art is something also intended to serve some other purpose besides being beautiful or pleasing to look at. Taxidermy in a museum mainly serves as scientific and educational purposes, depending on the artist's intent beyond the museums. Taxidermy is mostly for the preservation of sportsmen's trophies or for natural history collections. There are also certain standards in taxidermy not applicable to other forms of wildlife art. A taxidermy work must be comprised of the skin of the animal, a bird or fish. It must be exactly life size, and the skin must be fitted or applied over a realistic mannequin, excluding reproductions. The fine art is mostly art for art's sake. Original works like paintings, sculptures, and literary works can be copyrighted, but I never heard of someone copywriting a piece of taxidermy in itself. These are some rigid rules which don't apply in other visual arts. Actually, suppliers copyright their molds, but those aren't finished mounts. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by rules and standards? Well, first off, taxidermy mounts. Are taxidermy mounts copyrightable? Let's say you are mounting a fox standing on a base with a tree stump and some leaves and grass for habitat. You title the design and register it with the copyright office. Another fellow mounts one too, essentially the same pose, and copies or imitates your base, habitat, size, etc. The courts, you know, can't copyright a thing directly out of nature like a rock or stump or leaves. You can't copyright a pose every fox assumes at one time or another. If you wish to sue the other fellow for copyright infringement, it would have to be over overall design, the precise arrangements of all the parts. What are the odds you could convince a judge that the yellow fellow's piece is a spitting image of yours in every respect? Pretty slim, says Troy. Unlike the fine arts, nature being the standard of taxidermy that leaves only the selected pose of a specimen to the taxidermist. Presenting the specimen as nature created it is the objective, as nature created it. Any artistic genius, if it is there, will show in a beautifully molded mannequin and in the execution of fine craftsmanship and posing of the specimen, including the gait. See, the factors must all work in harmony to be effective. If one part of the mount is unnatural, the result is compromised, and no matter how excellent the craftsmanship, a keen eye, as someone else would say to the trained eye, will notice nearly any flaw in it and will come to the attention every time the mount is viewed. In the fine arts, there are no like boundaries to be observed, and the artist is free to create and invent as far as his inspiration may carry him. Well, that's like heavy, so let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
It may take us a while to go through here.
This will have to be a multiple episode ordeal.
Right, because he has some of his stuff. These mm-hmm. are Carl's actual notes.
Nice.
And, wow. There's Louis Paul. Anyway, we know this picture.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so, before I lose what little thought I have, we often talk about us as being artists, and then they do the fancy art mm-hmm. or their interpretation, and then, like I always say, if the joint's in the wrong place, or...
Yeah.
You know, so that's when I say that it's... The true art, according to Akeley,
mm-hmm.
is presenting a mount, doing something natural.
Yeah.
As it would be in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill of bringing the outside in, like like Rick Crane always says, that's our job, bring the outside inside.
Absolutely.
And maybe not so much, you know, flying animals and
yeah,
stuff like that. I guess they do that, but I mean, basically, like when you see a deer jumping out of a tree or something, or, you know,
yeah,
or like Joe said, that one time when that lion, that beautiful piece, but it was knocking that bush buck out of the air, and Joe said, I wasn't aware bush bucks could fly.
Yeah.
Or as his other famous comment, I never seen a animal afraid of his food before.
Yeah.
Things like that. If I'm making any sense, please feel free to interject into English at any time.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there are things that need to be taken into account on those kind of things. It's, you're keeping a moment in time. So what you're doing needs to tell the story of what happened before and what's happening current.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, a bush buck flying through the air, unless you know where he came from, it's flying bush buck, right?
Right. But, yeah, that was the point.
No, exactly. Exactly. I think a lot of times we forget to take into account that it's a story we're telling, right, rather than just, here's a lion killing the hell out of a bush buck in midair.
Right.
You know.
Like, rather than maybe stalk, you know, the bush buck is,
yeah,
in a bush and the lion is...
No, exactly.
And that tells the same story.
It does. But in this day and age, unfortunately, it's gone to more, how can you make it the most...
spectacular.
Yeah. Like you call it truck stop art. It's...
Yeah.
You got to catch somebody's eye with something big and flashy. Not a lion is going to get your attention regardless. But
right, yeah. Because big always seems to do good.
Absolutely. But having him do something outlandish, I mean, I get the point. But yeah, it should be something telling the entire story, not just from that tiny moment in time.
Something you don't have the animal attacking in the wrong area, because wolves don't usually go for the dangerous part.
Yeah, you know,
they don't go for the front leg first.
Yeah, exactly. Know?
And so things like that. But then again, that is what I try to imply too, is that doesn't mean the craftsmanship.
No, exactly.
There. Like, that piece got a best academy. He said he couldn't find like a flaw.
Yeah. Yeah, you're allowed your own opinion on things, but if the thing is done correctly, it's correct.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean,
the guy was...
Like, an example I'll throw out is like the one you told me about Mike taking the deer to the contest without carving any nose or any of that shit in, and they still, because everything else was right, he ended up with the...
best of category.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if everything's right, there shouldn't be any...
And that's what he did. And then remember, again, he did three different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up the one he did nothing to won.
Yeah.
The one with the where you could see the brains. And,
yeah.
And if you know Mike put the brains in there, you know it was right. And so, you know...
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times personal opinion gets hung up in shows, whether it's judging or... other people exhibiting, giving unsolicited opinions. Your personal opinion on things has a tendency to sway others' opinion, in my experience.
That, and then like our guest said last week, that the if a guy is a judge and just won some fantasticus thing in that animal, and it's not that they don't even know. I don't think that they do, you know what I mean? You won best deer head in the world, you're going to obviously think, hey, I'm the best
deer head in the world,
and my way is the way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And maybe it is. However, you're at the California show.
Yeah, and you're judging against a score sheet. You're not judging against how you would do things.
Right. And then in each division, you're in the open, you're in the novice.
Yeah, exactly.
Or then in the masters, then that's where it gets, again, to the... where, like, Joe expected you to fix stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think it's come to that. I think that people are putting stuff in the masters that's all not fixed.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, and basically, because that was the rules, an open division, any mannequin.
Yeah.
You can use any in a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And then doesn't matter if it's cross-eyed, broke neck, whatever.
Yeah.
But once you go to the masters...
Mm-hmm.
they expect you to, or yeah. used to expect you to fix the broken neck or the lack of joints or whatever it is in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're a master now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah, just some food for thought there.
Yeah, having said that, but let's look a couple pictures to back up this gibberish we're talking.
I'll put these pictures in the thing. I'm not going to try to show them to the camera again.
Okay, good. Well, because he's got a good picture here with the leopard that he killed by hand.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen that floating around the social media. That one, I think it became a half-assed inspirational meme.
Yeah, could it be?
I know I've seen it a whole bunch of times talking about you might be think you're a badass, but you've never posed with the whatever it was you just killed that was trying to kill you.
Yeah. And there's that at the Denver Museum.
Wow.
That sculpture of the bear. Now, mm-hmm. here's what he's talking about. So here are moose that are fighting. But look how it...
Yeah.
Or the wolves by Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So basically... they're getting ready to attack something, but look how
their
focus is down there.
There's 100% a flow to the mount. It's not
a bunch of
stuff on a thing.
Right. So that's kind of Joe when he said we read out of his book and get his philosophy, but I'd rather have him talk about how he made the score sheet and all of that. But
absolutely.
But maybe he'll have time when he's in jail if they let him have a cell phone, a phone next to his cell.
Yeah. So. But yeah, we'll get a little bit deeper into this book here in the coming episodes. But yeah, this is just a quick look into it. We're not going to sit and read the whole book to you. Don't worry. I know that can be kind of boring.
Boring, and hopefully we're trying to still... it's still along the same venue of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
With people's philosophies and what they think and the masters and and they truly were masters in a different sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, they invented I think wasn't his first mannequins were I read a book called Animals Under Glass or something
mm-hmm.
about them, and they were like plaster.
Yeah.
They weighed like 5,000 pounds.
I can imagine.
And
so
then, also there was all kind of drying issues and but they were always seeking to
further the craft.
Right. And if you go to the museum, like when, God, everything reminds me of Travis. So him and Rudy went to the museum to look at the stuff because of Grandpa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks, it's 100-something years old and it looks amazing.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. We had to do a field trip to there.
One of these days.
Except we'd have to go to New York.
Yeah, it's all the way over there. But yeah, one
it
of these
is
days.
Over there. That's right. That is east.
somewhere's east. I'm not sure which way I'm facing right now. But
I can tell you. Wait a minute. If this is north, then south. So east is that way.
If you say so, I'll take your word for it.
Honest to God, well, we're at North Arnez, right?
That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, in South, well, if I gridded it out, it would be nothing.
Yeah, but no, it's this is going to be a fun little project we're working on. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. If not, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we'll get back to normally scheduled programming.
Normal schedule, or we'll actually get Joe on eventually. I hope.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the end goal.
Preserve his,
absolutely,
voice for history because. His whole point in this book, once I read it again, was like, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do the same thing before,
mm-hmm.
in the only form that he knows, which is literature.
Yeah.
And as soon as I read that, I go, oh, man, somehow we picked up that idea. But that's what he charged me with. But he wanted me to write a book.
Yeah.
And... along with reading, writing is not my forte, as Matt will attest to.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that scares him about if he ever has to clean out my shop is translating.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out.
Yep.
But yeah, so what do you think? What do you think, Chucky? Time to get to work?
I think it's time to get to work.
All right, well.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors. Be sure to... I'm all tangled up in my cord here.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow us on everywhere you get your podcasts. We're Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and of course YouTube. And follow us on all social media at Butchershop Taxidermy, at Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you guys for watching.
Thank you. Thanks for listening and putting it up. And we hope our goal is to eventually educate, you know, I don't know what our goal is.
Educate and entertain.
That's it.
All right, guys.
See you next week.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.